Great to have you along here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, the deer hunting season has started in Wisconsin. The traditional gun hunt begins on November 20th of this year. And good to have Dan Small back with us. He's the host and producer of the television show Outdoor Wisconsin and Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. Also a contributing editor with Wisconsin Outdoor News. And his annual Deer Hunt Wisconsin show is out this week, and we'll talk to him about the deer forecast, copper bullets, get some updates on this year's regulations, and, of course, take your questions and maybe some of your hunting experiences as well. And I hope you'll join in the conversation. You can reach us at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Dan Small, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Well, Larry, good to talk to you again. It's always fun to talk deer hunting, and it's the time, as you said.
Well,
We're a little over a week away.
Yeah, I tell you what, I always enjoy your production, Deer Hunt Wisconsin, be it whatever the year it is, because it's always it's always new. And I have to say, one of the kind of the cool and fun things for me is the videos that you have in the production of deer and how they sometimes are pretty much often all are almost always relate exactly to what you're talking about. But the videos of the various deer, from the big bucks to even the fawn or the young deer, it's always a pleasure. And I imagine that's something people comment on.
Absolutely. And to be honest, it's a lot of effort to make those connections between the script and the deer behavior. And a lot of credit, in fact, most of the credit goes to our videographer and editor, Dave Roll, who may be listening. I don't know. He's up in New Auburn. If he's not in the tree stand now that the show is done. But he has several trail cameras, and he spends a lot of time out in the woods with his regular cameras. And he's shooting deer year-round with a camera and gets footage of fawns. And there are a couple surprises in this year's show that I'm sure you saw, but, you know, we'll try to save them for, when people get a chance to watch it. But yeah. And then, you know, we write the script, or I do, and then, he matches, the video. He looks for video that he's got, and sometimes, several years worth of video to find exactly the right shot. But he did a super job again this year, and we're really happy with the show.
Yeah, it's a great show this year. And there are a few, let's talk about some of the specifics. One of them had to do with hunting regulations, a few changes to this year's hunting regulations.
That's right, and not many, which is really a good thing, because over the last decade, gosh, we've had change after change after change, you know. I guess the main thing is hunters should always check the DNR website for updates on where baiting and feeding is banned, because it changes by the day. I just got a news release, I think yesterday, about a CWD-positive deer found on a farm in Eau Claire County, and I'm not sure what the ramifications of that are, but when that happens, then the regulations change for that specific county and other counties within a 10-mile radius of where the deer is found. So even if we said, hey, these counties are where you can't bait or where you can bait on the show, that might change tomorrow.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's a fast-moving thing. You know, the regulations booklet, I really like the regulations booklet because it's got everything in it.
Yeah, they did a nice job again this year. They combined deer, bear, turkey, elk, and all the small game. So all the questions are there, and it's available online as well as, you know, as in hard copy if you buy a license at a sporting goods store or a DNR office. Yeah, there are two other, let me mention the two other changes that I'm aware of. The list of counties with an antlerless only holiday hunt or an extended archery and crossbow season, and that's to the end of January, that changes every year as the counties opt in or out of the holiday hunt. So you should check the regs for that. Just because there was a holiday hunt last year in your county doesn't mean there will be this year. And good news, no buck-only deer management units for 2021. So we've had a couple of them in recent years, but now you can shoot a buck in any unit in the state, which is good news.
Yeah. And, you know, we can go back to these are some of the things you talk about, certainly, in the show. And it's been a while. You don't have to have to validate a carcass tag in the field or attach it to the deer anymore.
Right.
And you talk about what you have to do to prove you have a license, for example.
Yep. I guess a paper copy is what most people are familiar with, but if you have a Go Wild card or if you authenticated your driver's license to sync it with your Go Wild account, or if you just carry a tablet or smartphone and have the digital file of that permission, what we used to call tags, available, that will work as well. I personally print them out. I'm old school. I carry them because when you register your deer and you have to call it in or do it online or in person, there are a few on in-person sites yet, you have till 5 o'clock the day after your deer is recovered. So if you shoot them and don't find them till the next day, you've got till 5 o'clock, I think it's the next day anyway, the 5 o'clock the day after you recover the deer. But they give you a confirmation number. And what are you going to do with that? Well, I write it on the tag, and then I'm good to go.
Yeah, I probably should do that, too. I've got my Go Wild card, which I, you know, it's kind of like a credit card, and you stick it in your billfold, and you've got it with you all the time.
Yep.
And the registration, and that's different if you're an old school guy or gal who hasn't hunted for a few years. The registration has certainly changed on that as well.
It has. It's there are phone numbers to call, and you can do it electronically if you just if you have access to the internet wherever you are. It only takes a minute or so, and you're done. You're good to go. And so I do it by phone typically, and it's the same way. It's a different number, but it's the same way you register a car-killed deer or turkey. Which has changed in recent years, too. We don't address that in this year's show, but we have in past shows.
You talk in the show, young hunters play a role in that show quite a bit. Is there anything young hunters should know about?
Well, they should know the rules, obviously. Young hunters under 17 and under, actually, they get a junior antlerless deer tag, and they can take a deer anywhere, an antlerless deer anywhere in the state. There are mentored hunting opportunities which don't require that the new hunter, regardless of age, already have taken the hunter education course. But if you're doing a mentored hunt, you have to be within arm's reach of the mentor. There's only a few other regs for that. The mentor has to be 18 or older. We actually have two mentored hunts on this show. One is a young woman being mentored, a young girl, I should say. I think she's 9 or 10 years old, being mentored by Monica Spaney, who is the a founder of Accessibility Wisconsin. And Monica is in one of those track chairs, one of those all-terrain outdoor wheelchairs. And she's the mentor of this young girl who goes on her first deer hunt. And we didn't call attention to the fact that Monica was in the chair, but it's pretty obvious. And the point was, here's a woman who learned to hunt as an adult, who is physically incapable of getting around without the chair, and who is mentoring an able-bodied young girl. We thought that was a great combination to show. And the other youth hunt is father-son crossbow hunt. And that one has a very happy ending. I won't give it away, but it was a great segment. And Mark LaBarbera, my co-producer, actually shot the video for that one. Dave Roll does most of the video. Mark shoots as much as he can, and I do as well. So sometimes our segments get in there. Sometimes it's just shots of deer or other critters wandering around.
And certainly, Mark, and we'll probably have a chance to talk about this after our news break, but Mark is certainly appears this year, and it's got, some really good information and tips.
Yep.
In your show.
Yep, yep. We actually took a successful rifle hunt that he had last year and broke it into three segments, so we saved the surprise ending for the end. But, yeah, and he uses trail cameras, as a lot of folks do, and it's a real, literally, an eye-opener.
It is indeed, and we're going to be able to talk more about that with our guest, Dan Small, host and producer of the television show Outdoor Wisconsin. He also has a show that I listen to on Saturdays, Outdoor Radio with Dan Small. And you can join in with your questions or comments or maybe your experiences you want to share. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Take a look at the news, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, the award-winning TV special Deer Hunt Wisconsin starts to air this week. Talking to host Dan Small about the show and this year's hunt. And he's been host and producer of Outdoor Wisconsin since its premiere. He also hosts and produces a weekly radio show called Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. And, of course, the annual Deer Hunt Wisconsin specials. So, what questions do you have about this year's hunt? Any experiences that you'd like to share? Also, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Dan, let's go back to trail cams, because you had a really good segment on trail cams.
Yeah, we had fun with that one, and I won't give the fun part away, but Mark LaBarbera puts a couple of trail cameras looking at the area where he's hunting, where he has a blind and a stand. And it was remarkable to me how many deer actually walked by that trail camera over the course of the fall. And that was footage from last year. So over the course of the bow season and then the rifle season, and there were several different bucks, including the one that is the hero of the story, sort of the hero, and some does, and they're interacting with the scent wick that he hung up on the tree there. They're really eye-openers. And actually, we've got some trail cameras up on our property in Bayfield County. My son is managing that property now, and we shot a little bit of footage of him setting up these cameras this year. He's got a system of their cutty back cameras, and they talk to each other, so to speak. So he can he can see what photos he's got without actually going out there. And yesterday morning, he sent me a photo at, I think it was 8:14 in the morning. We've got company, he said. There's a very clear picture of a wolf crossing the trail 40 yards from one stand that I usually hunt from. And then 3 hours later, here's a small buck in the same position on the same trail behind the wolf. I mean, 3 hours behind him, but, you know, seemingly unconcerned that there might have been a wolf in that area. And, you know, he had to smell the tracks of the wolf, I would think, anyway.
It's one of the fun things, I think, about trail cams. And there may be people who are a little bit nervous about, or maybe feel like their technology is not of a level that they can use them, but they're pretty easy to use.
They are, and especially nowadays. I can remember my very first trail camera was a roll film, and you would go out and take the film out, and you had to have it developed, and then you got to see a chickadee jumping back and forth in front of your camera, or a squirrel, or a twig, you know, 15 shots of a twig. That was expensive. Well, now, you know, once you bought the camera and put a memory card in it, you're good to go. And we're having a lot of fun with them, for sure.
Yeah. Well, Jesse and Ripon, we'll go to you. Thanks for calling, Jesse. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So my question is, I've been hunting long enough. I remember having back tags and being able to actually tag your deer. I know that I've talked to and overheard lots of hunters with the new system saying, oh, I forgot to call in, or I didn't call it in. Do you think that at some point that could affect the numbers that we use for the herd population?
That's a good question, and the one for the DNR people, I don't really have an answer for that. The last thing I remember in a conversation with Kevin Wallenfang when he was still the deer biologist several years ago, when we switched to electronic registration and people were saying, well, people won't call it in, or they won't bother to register them. He said that they had done some tests with the control groups, I guess, and found that the compliance was right about the same as it was for physical tags being registered and, you know, and tied onto the deer. And that was better than 90%. So that's the latest information I have. I don't know if they have any more information since then. But, you know, DNR does not really estimate an actual population of deer anymore. They've gotten away from that. So you won't see any estimates of how many million deer there might be out there in the field.
Mm, yeah, Jesse, thanks very much. That's interesting about the research, though, on tags versus not tagging, and the response being about the same. I can remember having to walk back and try and retrace my steps once because I lost a tag while I was dragging a deer out.
Oh, yeah. You're not the only guy who's had that happen.
I actually was lucky enough to find it, but it wasn't too far, only a couple hundred yards. But, you get real worried real quick when you have something like that
absolutely
happen to you. So it's in a way, it's nice to have this new system for sure. There's been a push to switch from lead to copper-based bullets, and I think the show this year really explains very well why copper-based bullets are so important.
Yeah, a number of hunters have made the switch. I did last year. Other people I've hunted with have been doing it for a number of years. We worked with the National Wildlife Federation and the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, who brought Chris Parrish of the North American Non-Lead Partnership. He's actually with the Peregrine Fund out in Idaho, but he founded that Non-Lead Partnership, and he and Aaron Kindle of the Wildlife Federation came out and did a demo. Which a lot of hunters in Wisconsin have seen, because some DNR folks have done it over the years. Carl Batha, I think, was the first one to do it. And anyway, he did a demo where he shot both traditional lead core bullets and then copper bullets into water and into ballistic gelatin, which is a substance that simulates flesh. And it was, to me, a real eye-opener. I mean, I knew what I was going to see, but still, when you see the results, it's pretty amazing. The lead bullet mushroomed, and so did the copper, but the lead also broke into hundreds of tiny fragments, and the final weight of the mushroom solid slug, what was left of the lead slug, was probably about 65% of the original bullet weight, and the weight of the copper slug was more than 90% of its original weight. And copper, particle copper, is not poisonous, not harmful to scavengers like eagles, primarily avian predators or avian scavengers, bald eagles, crows and ravens, and condors out in California. We don't have any condors, of course, here, but a couple of pellets of lead in, or a couple of fragments of lead in an eagle can kill it. You know, they pick that lead up from gut piles. Now, so the Non-Lead Partnership and the Wildlife Federation are not saying it should be mandated. They're saying hunters who see the results and learn that as far as knockdown power and killing power are concerned, copper is every bit as good as lead, and the advantage to copper is that there is it's non-toxic. It will not harm a scavenger that happens to pick up a fragment, and there's no fragments of lead in your meat either, if you are concerned about that.
Yeah, I was. I tell you what, if there was ever graphic proof of why you should use copper bullets, that was it for me. And it's a real service in that show, Dan, because I think it's going to turn a lot of people toward copper bullets.
Well, I hope so. The unfortunate reality is if you go out today and try to buy copper bullets use a week from now, you might have a hard time. You might have a hard time finding any ammo. So I know that some online sources have ammo if people are still looking, but you can certainly plan ahead and buy some for next year.
Yeah. Dan Small, our guest, questions, comments, experience to share, give a call, 800-642-1234, or you can email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org. I wanted to mention one other feature before we talk about the forecast. Your son got involved in a shed hunt, which was really cool.
Yeah, and he did a hunt with Joe Shedd, and I don't know if you've met Joe or had him on the show, but he spells his name S-H-E-A-D. But he wrote the book on shed antler hunting, S-H-E-D, and he just happens to have that name, and that's how he pronounces it. So he lives up in, actually on Minnesota's North Shore, but he's a Wisconsin native. And he and my son John got together with our videographer, Dave Roll, and spent a day hunting shed antlers in on public land in Douglas County, I think it was. So. That was a fun segment for them to do, and Joe has a lot of good information about deer antlers. I mean, he knows what he's talking about.
Well, and he had a lot of really good tips, I thought, in that piece. So I really enjoyed that segment. Well, I enjoyed all the segments, but it was kind of fun to hear what he had to say about kind of where to look and how to look properly. It was really interesting. Roger in DeForest, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Roger.
Hello, yeah. I've been using Barnes non-lead bullets for years, maybe, I don't know, since they came out. Had the excellent luck. I was concerned about lead. I usually shoot them and kill them and eat myself, not eagles or hawks or owls. The question I've got is, Some states have banned the use of trail cameras for hunting. I wonder how soon it's going to be before we should ban the use of trail cameras in Wisconsin and go back to some old skills, not how to technologically harvest deer. I mean, the next step will be to put a gun next to the camera when a buck steps in front of it, remotely pull the trigger. Come on. When are we going to ban trail cameras, and when do you think we should ban them?
That's a good question. I think cameras have a place. They can be used, I think, to keep an eye on your property. The very first experience we had with trail cameras, Alex Blaine, a friend of my son's who hunts our property, sent me some photos of people walking up our main trail with buckets of bait. And he said, you know these people. And I said, no. And we tracked them down, found out who they were, and told them they weren't welcome to come back. And as far as, you know, you still have to be out there during the daylight hours, during legal hunting time to shoot a deer. The trail camera simply lets you know what's on your property and, you know, and what patterns they're using. It's, I agree that people should improve their woodsmanship skills and learn how to track deer and some of the old skills that that folks relied on, you know, a generation ago. But, you know, I'm not ready to ban trail cameras. I don't hear any movement for that in Wisconsin. I don't know.
Yeah. Thanks, Roger. Appreciate your call. Let's maybe talk about the forecast in brief about our various areas of the state.
Well, the elevator pitch about the forecast is we've had a mild winter now for several years in a row and lower than average harvest last year and the year before. So there are plenty of deer around. And I haven't looked at the crossbow and archery harvest today, but it is updated daily, and it's been clipping right along. So I think the archery hunters are doing very well, and the gun hunters should as well, depending on what kind of weather we have. I mean, if we get 2 feet of snow next week, that kind of throws a monkey wrench into it. But there are good deer numbers across the state, and I got all this information out of the deer hunting forecast that the DNR biologist put together, and it's on the DNR website. If you just type in a deer forecast or hunting forecast, you'll find it. And there aren't many areas where deer numbers are down from what they have been in recent years. And, you know, I think up north, deer numbers are not what they used to be. But I wrote an article, I don't know if you've seen it yet, Larry, but it's in the current issue of Wisconsin Outdoor News, comparing the harvest statistics from the 1930s up until the present. And, you know, the top county for most of the years, 1930s and 40s, was Vilas County. And you'd be hard-put to find a deer in Vilas County now. Mainly because the habitat has changed. The woods have grown up, you know, and of course there are wolves and bears and bobcats, but there were bears and bobcats back then, and a few wolves probably still around back in those days. So habitat's a big thing, I think. So I don't know how much detail you want.
What about the Northwest?
Well, you don't hunt up there, do you? Yeah, we've seen deer both in person and on cameras this year and last year. The number of antlerless permits was increased. I don't have that exact number in front of me right now, but most of the public land permits are gone. They've already been sold, but there are a number of private land permits left in Bayfield County, for instance. And we plan to shoot an antlerless deer or two because we like the venison. The weather last winter along the Lake Superior Snowbelt counties was in the moderate range, high moderate, I guess you could say. but it wasn't too long a period of time. There wasn't a lot of snow. You know, that cold weather didn't, that extreme cold weather didn't last too long. I mean, we had 40 below here in Vernon County for a few days. So I imagine it was colder up north. But we had spring green up early. We had, you remember what Memorial Weekend was like? It was like mid-August this year. So, you know, that helps the does feed their fawns and helps the fawns do better in the first few weeks of life. You know, I know that's kind of a glossy overview, but
that's all right.
I think things look pretty good. we're excited, and we hunt Bayfield County.
Okay. Well, you know, before we, I forget, and before we get away here for the end of the show, I want maybe talk about how people can see the show.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's in my notes here, too. Well, the full-length show that you saw will be on Bally Sports Wisconsin and Bally Sports North. That's a new name for Fox Sports, starting tomorrow night at 7. And then there are several repeats. I won't go into all of them, but there are several repeats as well on Friday, Saturday, and in one case, Sunday. And then PBS Wisconsin, that is the Wisconsin channel of the state network, is going to air the show that same night, tomorrow night at 8:30, and they're going to repeat it a couple of times. And then Milwaukee PBS, which is where this all started 31 years ago, is going to air the show tomorrow night at 9 and Saturday morning at 9, and that's in the traditional outdoor Wisconsin time slots. The show will also be covered or aired on a number of community media stations around the state. Don't know when they're doing it, but if you have a local cable access or public access cable station, check their listings or give them a call and see when you might watch it. And we have a YouTube channel, and to find that, the easiest way is to use a search engine like Google and type in Deer Hunt Wisconsin, all as one word, and then a space, and then YouTube. And the reason you do that is because that will go right to the Deer Hunt Wisconsin page and not to all these other pages about deer hunting in Wisconsin or anywhere else. And we will have the entire show there actually at noon tomorrow. So we're going to do a little sneak preview for anybody who's listening to this. That's where it's going to be, and it'll be archived there as well. So lots of opportunities to watch it, and I hope folks do. And, you know, we had a lot of support for this year's show. We had, I won't list all the sponsors, but the commercial version on Bally Sports North in Wisconsin has spots for all of our commercial sponsors. And I just want to call out the Safari Club chapters in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin chapter, the Badgerland chapter, which is my chapter, and the Lake Superior chapter all chipped in, as did a charity called the Big Al Hunt, which is a fundraising pheasant hunt that's in its 24th year. They actually underwrote the Safari Club Wisconsin chapter sponsorship. So lots of, you know, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of hours, and it takes a fair amount of money to put a show like this together.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Dan, always a pleasure. I enjoyed the show very much. I hope a lot of people see it because they're going to learn an awful lot. Thank you for being with us today. Dan Small, host and producer of the television show Outdoor Wisconsin and Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. Great to have him with us today. Tomorrow we'll talk home improvement with John Freiberger. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.